Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5, brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight, download the new Sport Clips haircut app, and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
Did the Cubs' 3-2 extra innings home loss to the Reds, sealing a series loss with 10 games remaining, serve as a death blow to the team's playoff chances? And will that game and that series be the one they regret the most when October comes?
It's not the death blow yet, okay? It's not yet the death blow. But boy, doesn't it feel like the death blow is coming. That's a terrible loss. I'm sorry. That is not a game that you could afford to lose. You got to beat that team, and you got to win that series. And I'm befuddled as to how they ended up losing that game. It just was here's the thing. It's squeaky bum time, right? So you don't want to be too tight. And I don't know if that's what the problem was, but it seems like they're problems. And I think that when you get to October and if things don't go well, And you are on the outside looking in, you will regret all those home losses to Cincinnati, all the road losses. You will regret losing a series to that team and a season series to that team. That's definitely one that will be horribly, horribly, it'll leave a terrible mark.
Yeah, when you go back to the beginning of the season and remember when the narrative before spring training was, you know, Theo Epstein and the urgency, and October starts in March, and there are going to be certain games that you circle on the schedule that you can't lose. I wonder how many of them were, you know, to the Reds, because you can't tolerate that kind of mediocrity against a team that you should take care of. You shouldn't lose 11 out of 19 games to the Reds. When we're doing, you know, CSI Cubs at the end of the season and what happened to the Cubs and who killed their season, the biggest suspect will be the Cincinnati Reds. There'd be a lot of clues that point to this series, and there'll be a lot of clues to point to their season-long series.
How can they be the boogeyman team?
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
I think it's because of a lot of I don't know, because they're a team that pitches well against the Cubs but doesn't really pitch that well against everybody else. Sonny Gray did the job two nights ago. Last night, Tyler Mahle, the guy that they should have knocked around easily for a team that, you know, scored 50 runs in a 5-game win streak, and they couldn't solve that guy last night. Very frustrating, very confounding. That's baseball, I suppose, but the team every year that kind of spoils the party. And this year, that's the Cincinnati Reds for the Cubs. So that will be, to me, the biggest regret when you get to October and you're looking back and think, what went wrong? Well, look at the Reds series, especially the ones at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I mean, in a vacuum, it's not the worst loss in the world, but you look at the context around it, and context is everything at this time of the year when you're scrapping for playoff positioning. The Reds are not a good team. They're not the worst team in the league, certainly, and God knows they've got some good hitters, but you managed to somewhat keep the Cincinnati offense in check last night. It's the Cubs offense that was the problem. 4 hits is just unacceptable against a sub-500 team at home, against a starter that is not very good in Mahle. It's back to the offense. It's the hot, it's the cold, it's broken, it's not broken, it's the approach, it's mistakes on the base pass, and it's the same things we've seen not only this year, but dating back into last year and 2017 as well. It's now become a pattern with this team, with these inexplicable power outages, and I think that if the Cubs do not make it into the playoffs, we'll absolutely be looking at this home series versus the Reds as a huge, huge reason why.
Well, I will not say it's a death blow, and I will say that only for this reason, because the Brewers also lost yesterday. So that gives you that little window of hope. But come on, man. It's the Reds. You got to take care of business. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. The Cubs are supposed to beat the Reds. This team that is pushing and wiggled themselves back into potentially talking about winning the division. I know that's kind of crazy to say maybe, but they're only three games behind. And it looked like all was lost for a little bit there, but they are not totally out of it. They're not totally out of it.
I think Ray just predicted a sweep.
I mean, maybe. I'm hope they need to. They needed to sweep the Reds is what they needed to do.
Yeah.
And I understand you ran into Sonny Gray, and he's a good pitcher. I get that. But if you didn't sweep, you needed some meatloaf. And what did you do? You just put meatloaf on a platter for the Reds. This is not a death blow, but it's not great. It's not great for a team that is running out of time to have any chance of winning the division. And you don't want to be in a wild card position if you can avoid it, because this team on the road is not a good team, as we've talked about. So, not a death blow, but man, this will be something they regret. Absolutely.
Happy retirement, Marty. Here's some meatloaf.
I mean, I hate to argue with Metric Boy to my right, but I mean, the Reds have a good offense. Did you look at the numbers, or is there a metric that's going to... The Cubs have scored 99 more runs than the Reds have this year. Okay, Cincinnati is 23rd out of 30 in scoring, and the Reds have a good offense.
Votto, Aquino, Suarez. Those are pretty good hitters, Dustin.
Votto has had, for Joey Votto has had an awful
season. Un-Votto-like year.
Okay, the metrics.
He's bouncing back. Lynn Casper told me. He's bouncing back.
We're all at the right time. The only thing that ended last night was Marty Brenneman coming to Chicago. That's what ended last night and sitting in a booth. Okay, that's what ended. It probably ended the division. But
right.
The wild card is right. The Nationals aren't playing very good baseball right now. I mean, they had Max Scherzer on the mound yesterday with a chance to gain some ground, put some distance between themselves or the Brewers, and what happened. I mean, they had Max Scherzer, right?
Yeah.
The Cardinals happened.
Yeah.
So, listen, here's the problem is that the Cardinals' magic number now is 8, I believe. It's now 8, okay? So
it is.
If they don't take 3 of 4, if they don't take 3 of 4, that's going to be really hard to catch them. But they're still alive
Eight?
And well in the wild card.
Doing the math. 1, 2, 3, 4. Could it be Sunday?
In a sweep, it could be Sunday.
Could it be Sunday?
Wow. That's now who's got a glass full of something?
You know what else is Sunday, right? You know what else is Sunday?
Right,
the possibility of. Have we thought about this?
It's week 3 in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is there a hockey game?
And thank goodness the Bears actually aren't playing.
Right.
Because on Sunday, they're playing
Sunday?
Week 3. Is that this could be the last time Joe Maddon manages.
Oh, my goodness.
Or that core plays at Wrigley Field. It could be the last time Joe Maddon manages at Wrigley Field.
Well, he could come back with a team next year. Not
Philly?
The Cubs.
The last time he'll be on the third base side.
On the north
that's a great
side.
Question, and it differs for every guy.
Boy, that's terrible to think about, huh?
Yeah, it breaks me up. How do you explain the Cubs running themselves into outs on Wednesday night? Do you think they were pressing? Are you okay with errors of aggression, or is there any error that's unacceptable down the stretch?
Well, not every brain spasm is created equally. I think there are a lot of... You saw Schwarber, and you saw, I think, Brian it was,
yep.
And then you saw Castellanos almost do that, and I think... They were all different, but I don't like the Cubs running into so many outs, but that's been a season-long problem. They have been kind of this team that has been not as smart on the base paths as you would expect for a veteran team. I do like the idea of Castellanos doing what he did. He legged out a double, then he took a chance, and he manufactured that run. I mean, then he got the third, I think it was on a pass ball or
yeah.
An error, and then he scored on a sacrifice fly. So that was all hustle, and that was all aggression. So you like the aggressiveness in that case. They have to be smarter than Schwarber looked when he got caught, and I think those are the kind of things that remind you of all the mistakes they've made along the way. You don't know if they were told about certain guys. I think JD mentioned that on the broadcast. They might have been part of their scouting report. I don't know. It's not acceptable to have these kind of mental lapses, but I think there's a fine line between – you know, being aggressive on the base paths and then just being sort of absent-minded. It's not one of those things that I think is a product of anxiety necessarily, so I don't know if they were pressing. They understand what's going on here. I just think that they got caught off guard.
Yeah, I don't know about caught off guard. I mean, the Schwarber one was bad. You know, Bryant, he thought it was an errant throw, and it was an errant throw. It just bounced back to the guy, so he went. Castellanos was out by a mile, but that was like a little league play. It was like the guy did not move forward with the ball. He waited for him at the bag. It was bizarre, and he managed to get in, and you're right. It was a pass ball or a wild pitch, and he goes to third, and then he ends up scoring on a pop out. I mean, it was crazy the way that run was scored. I thought he might have been thrown out at home at first, but it was not a very good throw down the line. So I think that when it works, and it worked in the Castellanos case, it's worth it. I don't blame Bryant for going, because I thought, you know, play was behind him and he thought the ball was long gone, so he went. I don't mind that one at all. I don't think they're getting tight, and I don't think that they're being aggressive. I actually like errors of aggression. I like the idea. I mean, look, the answer to the question is no error is acceptable down the stretch. You just can't have any kind of errors. You can't have any mistakes. You can't. It's too important. You can't get thrown out. But, I mean, in that case, as you say, I didn't like what Castellanos did at all. I thought he should have been out, and I thought it was crazy that he tried to leg out a double on that. It was like, no, you know, what are you doing? And the ball comes in, and you're like, oh, my God, again. And then he ends up being safe. But
No. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess that tells you something. Only he can do it.
I think when you're not scoring runs, and the Cubs haven't been scoring runs over the past few games, I think you have to be a little bit more cautious on the base paths when you're not getting those opportunities. And it's the same reason the teams – smart teams don't try to steal bases as much anymore, because when you get a guy on base, it's valuable and you don't want to run yourself out of innings. Yep. And I think that they maybe are pressing a little bit, and maybe they were a little over aggressive. And partially on the other end of that, if you're not scoring runs, maybe you want to try to make something happen, but that's often ill-advised. And you know, there's no excuse for stuff like that. We've seen it all year long. You guys talked to Theo last week. It was one of the first things he brought up. Running into outs on the base pass, making stupid mistakes defensively. Just little things like that add up over the course of 162 games. That's one of the reasons this team has been barely over 500 since the month of, what, May? So I didn't like it last night, and no, just don't like it. Do not like that whatsoever. They should be better than this. These guys aren't young players. They're all veterans now at this point. They've been around a while. They've been through the battles. They should know better.
Kevin, you're absolutely right. The Cubs should be better. Were they pressing? Yeah, I think that's likely that they were pressing last night. I think this Cubs team has been pressing all season long. I mean, you're going to start off maybe pressing if you start your season reflecting on the disappointing way it ended last year. And then you begin the season with all of the October starts and March talk and all of that. Maybe there's been long stretches of pressing throughout the season and additional pressure because of that kind of rhetoric. But it's no excuse. There's just no excuse. I mean, with the aggressiveness on the base paths and everything like that, look, we do this all the time. Aggressiveness is applauded when it works, and it's criticized when it doesn't. So you had a mixed bag of that on the base paths yesterday, but there's no excuse. You want a team, especially a team like the Cubs, who has, you know, this postseason experience and all of that, in these clutch times, to be a little smarter, play more intelligently. So, no, not an excuse.
If Bryant hadn't have run and the ball had bounced up the field towards right field, we'd be killing Bryant for being lazy today, okay? I was screaming at the television, go, 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 go! And then I said a couple words that I can't say on the air with an open mic. The Schwarber one, that was the bad one. That was the one where you shouldn't have done it. Castellanos, I think he's trying to be El Mago light. I didn't like it at all. It worked out. So as Ray pointed out and others have pointed out, when it works out, you kind of shrug your shoulders and say, okay, it worked. But that was not the smart move. Let's put it this way. You don't want to see that in the postseason. I get it right now because they are pressing.
You know, it's tough to be up here answering questions.
How many games do the Cubs need to win against St. Louis in their 7-game home and away series, and will they do it?
This is a disaster because this is all or nothing. I mean, if you're going 500 against these guys, if you're splitting this, that's you're done because you're not going to win the division and you're not going to get a wild card. The problem is they gotta win in order to get the wild card, and since they're playing the Cardinals, it's really get the division or you're really in serious doo-doo. So I would say, and this is I can't believe I'm sitting here saying this, they need to sweep this series in order to make the last three games count. Because, hey, Jack Flaherty's on the bump tonight. The magic number could be 6 when we get here tomorrow morning, right? If the Cubs can't win that game. And then it's going to be 4-2. I can do the math. You've got to win this series, period, end of story. But honest to God, you need to sweep it.
10 games left. I think that if you look at it, doing the math, obviously everybody's trying to project. I think 8-2 would do it. I think 8-2 would be acceptable. So in that context, I think they could definitely win 3 of 4 this time and 2 of 3 next weekend, and that would be, 5-2 in the final 7 games against the Cardinals. If they're 5-2 against the Cardinals, then you have a realistic chance of winning the division still. I don't know that they can do that, Molly. I don't know that what we've seen from this offense is up and down it has been, and the pitching, starting pitching against this very good Cardinals team, which is very hot. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. So the answer to the second question, will they do it? Doubtful. How many games do they have to win? I'd say 5.
Yeah, 5-2, I think, bare minimum if they want to, you know, stay in this thing. And maybe the division is a bridge too far at this point, but no matter who you're playing, you got to worry about what Washington and Milwaukee are doing at the same time. So you got to beat the Cardinals. Even if you're not getting back in the National League race, you can't afford to lose ground in the wild card race. So you got to take 3 out of 4 this weekend, bare minimum. You got to take 2 out of 3 down at Busch. Kyle Schwarber's got to, you know, man up a little bit and not complain when he gets struck out. And I like Kyle Schwarber. We just talked about it yesterday. I was raving yes. about Kyle Schwarber. I'm a fan. Take him on the south side any day of the week.
Frustration
talking. He's having a good year.
Come on.
But Wilson Contreras, Javi Baez can do backflips when they're running around the bases, but Kyle Schwarber gets mad when he gets struck out. Keep the same energy, Kyle.
5-2. That's the only answer here. And you have to take advantage of your Wrigley Cubs. You got to play well at home. Mully, if they don't sweep, which that's quite the bold prediction. If they,
I'm saying they need to.
It would be great.
If you're going into St. Louis needing to sweep them with the final three, then you're done.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You got to take care of business at some point, and the quicker the better. I also don't think they're going to go 5-2. I think it's going to be 4-3, and that would spell disaster.
Well, they have to go 5-2 at least, and you have to take 3 out of 4. A sweep at home, that would be tremendous, but I don't see that happening. 3 of 4 at home, and you have to hope to take 2 out of 3 in St. Louis, and that makes me cringe because these Cubs, the way they play on the road, they very well can go into St. Louis and end it all getting swept.
I mean, 5-2, I think you still can talk about the division potentially.
Right.
I mean, if we're talking wild card, I think if you're talking just get to the postseason, I think they basically have to be one game over 500 against the Cardinals, and you're still there. Now, here's the other thing. Call it crazy. Mully, you talk about the three games at the end of the year in St. Louis. The Cardinals might want the opportunity to face the Cubs, right? The way they're playing on the road. I mean, maybe they like their matchup better, and they want them into the postseason where they could eventually play each other.
Maybe they won't need it, Dustin.
What's that?
Maybe they won't need it.
The Cubs?
The Cardinals.
Well, yeah, they might have the division wrapped up by them. But my point is, would they potentially do a bullpen day or not play their regulars? Just letting the Cubs get in is my point on those last 3 days. Listen, come on, come in. We want you. You know, if hopefully the Brewers will lose or the Nationals will lose, we want you in. Maybe that's what's going to happen.
They might want to eliminate the Cubs. I don't think they
want
to let the Cubs in. No chance. Yeah. No,
I think
chance.
They'll be too.
You give the Cubs a second win in
Bud
October.
Light, yeah. Budweiser after winning the division to worry about if the Cubs are in the postseason or not.
So, next question.
Bob Nightingale wrote in USA Today on Wednesday that the biggest surprise in Chicago this winter will be if David Ross is not named their next manager by Thanksgiving. How surprised will you be if Ross is not the Cubs manager by Thanksgiving.
I was surprised to see that report. It wasn't a report, but it was certainly went a long way towards speculating that he was going to be replaced. Joe Maddon gone, David Ross in. Okay, so by Thanksgiving. I don't know that I can sit here and tell you that I expect that to happen. Still, even seeing this in print and even hearing the speculation, to me, if it happens, it happens. We'll talk about it, we'll analyze it, and we'll understand it a little bit better. But right now, it still, to me, seems really experimental. It seems really, for Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts, it seems really like a gamble that I just would have a hard time, I guess, understanding fully. Because, look, David Ross is great in the booth. He's a great ambassador. He was a smart player. He was a terrific clubhouse guy. Have no idea what kind of manager he will be. And I know other teams have done it, but it seems to me with the championship window still open through the next two seasons, if you are the Cubs and you're turning it over to a manager who has never done this before, it still seems a little bit more of a risk than a front office that is typically reasonable, rational, and strategically aggressive. This doesn't seem to me like the move that they would make. It seems like a move that they would go to somebody else who might be a little bit more in line with their analytical thinking, and maybe David Ross is that guy. I still, after seeing this in print, I was surprised it was there because it sounds pretty much like a done deal. And I guess I will be maybe the last guy to think that, you know, obviously, you know, if everyone else expects this to happen, I'm not sure I do yet. So I guess I will be mildly surprised if it happens by Thanksgiving.
Well, we know Joe's gone. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but Joe's gone. I mean, I don't see any scenario in which that doesn't happen. It seems that's a fait accompli. And all the stuff you talk to, all the people around baseball feel that way. And so the speculation begins on who will replace him. Again, the reason that Joe will be gone ultimately is money. You're paying a guy $6 million for a job that the metrics say a difference in manager is 2 or 3 wins tops. That's it. And if you don't like what Joe's doing and you feel he's cost you 2 or 3 runs, 2 or 3 wins, then you make that move. And it doesn't matter who the manager is the idea. And we've seen other guys do it. So David Ross, yeah, okay, that sounds good. David Ross was a catcher. A lot of catchers make good managers. David Ross was a guy who was really a backup his whole career. A lot of guys like that make good managers. I think you look at the person and the character and all of the intangibles that he would bring to that job, I think he'd end up being a good manager. I think it would work. And I think they believe it would work. And I think that they're looking for more control on everything that goes on. And, you know, he would basically be, I don't want to call him a puppet, but he would be the front man for an operation as opposed to, you know, the guy that is the lead singer singing someone else's songs and, you know, trying to change something here or there that they don't want to see change. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's David Ross, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's anybody but Joe Maddon. If it's Joe Maddon, that would actually surprise me. And unfortunately, that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. The biggest surprise would be if Joe re-ups for next season, because with Joe out of contract and Bruce Bochy retiring, this is the end of this era of the expensive celebrity, you know, resume having manager. When you look at some of the other teams that have won recently or that are winning this season, you know, Dave Roberts in LA, Aaron Boone in New York, Alex Cora in Boston, these guys are relatively cheap, making what, one and a half, maybe tops, $1 million per year. And that's just the trend in which baseball is headed right now. And I think the Cubs are going to follow that trend, whether it's David Ross, whether it's Mark Loretta, whether it's somebody else. It is going to be a younger, fairly recently retired in the case of Loretta, but a younger guy who maybe can relate to the players a little bit more. And I think part of it is maybe having a little bit more control or less autonomy given to the manager. But I think that it will be shocking if Joe Maddon is back here next year.
I agree. I just don't see it happening unless somehow, some way, the Cubs win the World Series. And I just don't see that happening, unfortunately. So I think it's a done deal and Joe Maddon's out of here. I think David Ross is a very likely candidate here because, I mean, sure, there's no managerial experience, but I look at Milwaukee and I look at Craig Counsell and I see some similarities with what happened with how he was given the job. He retires as a player. He's given a front office position like David Ross has. He's Craig Counsell was a broadcaster for a brief period, as David Ross currently is. And then, hey, would you like to be the manager of the Brewers? So I could see this kind of happening, even though he has no managerial experience whatsoever. Because as you point out, Mully, and as you guys have all alluded to, that this is the trend in baseball. Let's get a young guy in here. This is somebody who's already got the company message. He's already been with the team, and now he's been in the front office now for some time. He knows the messaging. He knows what we want. And, a young, controllable guy that's not going to push back on you. He's going to do everything that he's told.
Why does it have to take until Thanksgiving? Right? I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to split up with Joe Maddon, you better have a plan. And I think the plan probably shouldn't be more than a list of maybe two. And I think you've probably already talked to those two individuals about their interest and their commitment to you before you would actually part company. So the only problem with this reporting is Thanksgiving. Why wouldn't it be a week later? You'd want to enter. You don't, if you're the Cub, this is not going to be a popular move. Okay, so you want to extinguish any smoldering?
It might be a popular move.
Depending on how the season ends.
Well, the only way that this won't be a total disaster with the fans, it's got to be David Ross. I can't think of another name where you'd be like, okay, I'm good with that.
Joe Girardi?
No. Honestly, no. He doesn't fit. He does not fit. He's not a metrics guy. He hates the metrics.
No. That's a different equation. You said the fans. The fans would not accept Joe Girardi.
But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's just that he's
You're moving the ball here. You said the fans would not accept anybody but David Ross. And I'm telling
David
you,
Ross actually fits the part of the answer. Joe Girardi, David, is a
old school.
I'm sure I'll screw it up. He's a square peg trying to get into a round hole. Did I do that right, Mully?
That's good, buddy.
Okay. Even public school educated, I got that right. District 205. So, listen, unless it's David Ross, it's going to be a problem. And I think if you're the Cubs management, you want to extinguish that fire as quickly as possible.
That's a good question.
Any concerns over the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, Eddie Pinheiro, and how he will handle success? Are you okay with a kicker being so quotable and a media darling?
Yeah, I don't want him becoming a media darling.
Is he a media darling?
I don't know that he's a media darling.
Okay. I don't know. Did you see yesterday at Halas Hall?
It was nice to see him win Special Teams Player of the Week, and it's nice to have some success. He seems like he's got a little swag to him, which is good. How will he handle success? Listen, just make your kicks. Just make your kicks. Every one of them. Don't miss. I don't care how you handle anything. Just ideally, seen but not heard. Okay. That would be the ideal. If he was just good enough to be kind of automatic and didn't get a ton of attention. It's obvious that you're going to get a lot of attention because the microscope has been upon this thing and everybody's been picking it apart, and it is CSI Chicago Bears. But right now, the guy had a good game. Nothing's set for this kid. He's got to put together a year, and then he's got to put together years. And the only way to do that is to put together a good week followed by a good week. God bless him for hitting a field goal, but let's not get out over our skis. One of the ways you handle success is don't be a media darling. Just be a football player. Just be a kicker in the NFL.
Act like you've been there before.
Believe in Jesus Christ. You better start because he's real.
He was entertaining yesterday, talking about his story and everything like that. I think it's a little early for a victory lap.
Right.
It's a little early to be having candy bar deals. It's a little early for a few things. I don't begrudge him.
He got a pallet of Snickers.
I know. How about
that's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's player of the week. A lot of accolades coming his way.
Given the money he's making, it's pretty good money. I mean, we would all love it. He's making like $450.
He better not eat all those Snickers. They're going to have to amputate one of his legs. He needs those.
Needs
to amputate.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that. Wow. Once you do that, do it again, and then do it again, and then make a field goal in cold weather when it's colder than 65 degrees or so. So I think that it's a little premature, but hey, I don't know that he's a media darling yet, but you might want to tap the brakes a little bit.
We're a little short on time, so I'll just leave it at this. In Week 11 last year against the Minnesota Vikings, Cody Parkey made three field goals in the 25-20 Bears win, and he was named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
I'm personally okay with Eddie Pinheiro being a media darling and being quotable. I'm starting to like the kid already, so I'm cool with it as long as he is doing his job and making the kicks. But think of what happened when Cody Parkey went to the Today Show. Matt Nagy's response was, "We always talk about a we and not a me thing." So Matt Nagy might not think too highly of him being so quotable and all that. I mean, I think everything will be fine as long as he's making his kicks.
Great example.
Those are a couple of good ones back to back. I think somebody had mentioned that you want your kicker to have swag. You want them. Didn't we have one of our football experts come on and say that?
Yeah, why?
Why?
Why do you want your kicker to have
confidence?
You don't
swag
want him to
means
walk
confidence.
Down, come in with his head
yeah,
down.
No, exactly.
Walking
hey,
to.
It'd be nice if you had that from your quarterback,
yeah,
too.
How about
Dustin?
The other 52 guys
that,
on
that
the team?
That would be good, too. And I think I've quoted this before. One time I quoted it wrong. One time I quoted it right. So I'm going to get it right this time because I put it in the Google machine. As Jack Palisade used to say, confidence is sexy.
That's coming back. That's
sexy kicker yeah, talk.
That is coming back.
I believe we have that drop.
312-644-6767. Let's test your sexy factor, Cub fans. Are you feeling sexy? Are you feeling confident? Or is this thing over before it began? Is this the end or just the beginning? 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.